Hello, everyone. Welcome again to TechNet Radio. My name is Kevin Remney, and I'm a senior technical evangelist with Microsoft on the U.S. Developer Experience team, and I'm your TechNet Radio host today. Now, this is part three of our three-part series entitled App Compat in Windows 10. Now, part three, we're calling How Do I Get to the Edge? We have a new browser in Windows 10. Many of you probably experienced this. We have this browser called Edge, and it still might be a little bit of a surprise, maybe a little bit a mystery to some folks who grew up and cut their teeth on Internet Explorer over the years. You know, in the first two parts of this series, we were actually thrilled to speak with the App Compat guy himself, Chris Jackson, when we talked about Windows 10 apps and Internet Explorer compatibility. So we thought we'd hit him up again today to talk about this new browser. Chris, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me back, Kevin. It's always a pleasure talking to you and your fine beard.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, you know, it is November. Actually, you know, I'm going for the. I saw it in the mirror the other day, and I just have to do this. So, if you leave this into the video, I'm sorry, everybody. But let's see, how does it go? Stay thirsty, my friends. Anyway. I'm the most interesting guy in the world. See, so anyway, let's go past all that. The first question that I think, well, I have, and probably a lot of our viewers have, is why? Why do we have a new browser? Why do we even need a new browser? IE was fine for me. Where did this Edge thing come from, and why?
Yeah, and I think that's a terrific question, right? Why are we sort of rebooting and starting over? You know, why do movie series reboot? And in this case, it was because we were really struggling to keep up with the way that the web is evolving today. You know, the way that we did IE was, you know, here's a point in the sand. We're going to have, you know, the three-year typical waterfall life cycle, build this thing up, build a whole bunch of things together, and then try to build in a lot of legacy compatibility. And that just doesn't allow us to keep up with the pace of the web. Before, it was fine when you had to press DVDs and ship them around, but how can we go about actually being able to release and have this evergreen browser concept so that we can build in new features, listen to customers, and respond in a very agile way? And Edge is the way that we're doing that.
Fantastic. Now, one of the things that I've heard people say, and I've experienced this as well, is I do think it's much faster than IE personally. So how does it compare? Does it really speed the process up? Does it really improve the experience for people just as at a gut level? Or do you have actual numbers? and also I'd have to ask too, because a lot of people went to other browsers such as Chrome. How does it compare to things like Chrome?
Yeah, so you know, I'm a nerd, not a marketing guy, so I don't have all the numbers handy.
Right.
But you know, what I do know is, to your point, your gut feel, boy, this is a whole lot faster. And the numbers agree with that, too. The numbers are saying, listen, we're building an incredibly high-performance browser. We're not winning on every benchmark, but we're winning on a lot of them, right? And that's really what a lot of the time and effort and energy has been putting into, is let's build, you know, the world's fastest JavaScript engine. Let's build the fastest rendering engine we can, and let's really try to make these incredibly differentiated web experiences. Other people are doing great work, too, right? But this evergreen approach lets us bring that innovation, bring that knowledge, and come to market a whole lot faster to be competitive, so that now you can have an amazing experience in Edge with the modern web, the same way you could on Chrome, the same way you could on, you know, any other browser out there, you know, Firefox, Safari, and whatnot, right? It's all about making this incredible experience and differentiating it with the product itself.
Yeah, so I guess we could easily say this is not your father's Microsoft browser. This is something entirely different. If you haven't had a chance to try it, you really should. Now, I understand that one of the benefits of Edge is going to be that we're going to include plugins to it, so we'll be able to extend or add additional capabilities to the Edge browser. What can we expect when that capability arrives? What's the timing on that capability? Is this going to be in a future update of Windows 10?
Yeah, so, well, you already can do that in IE, by the way. So we've always had binary extensibility there, but it's something we're taking really cautiously. We want to make sure we do it right, because as soon as you're in an extension, now you're not doing something consistently across all browsers. Now you're writing browser-specific code, and that kind of goes against the point of the web. So the question then becomes, well, how do I build extensions in a way that's very, very safe? One of the hallmarks of Microsoft Edge is to have an incredibly differentiated security story. I actually go for people who are really want to sort of geek out on the nerdy aspects of that. I have a session that I gave at Ignite New Zealand about a month and a half ago that kind of goes into some of the grungy details of exactly what that means. But you know, we want to make sure we don't spoil that experience. We don't spoil the reliability experience and try to make that as consistent as possible. So, you know, our answer in terms of when is going to be when we have something that's built together. And by having an evergreen browser, we can bring that story forward to provide the right extensibility while also providing the right sort of web experience on top of that to solve those issues. But of course, you know, to your point, it's never quite soon enough, but we, you know, it is important to us to get it really right.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure people would appreciate that as well, yes. And now, we have been talking about compatibility this whole series, and so I have to ask the question about compatibility issues with Edge, because there, you know, I'm expecting that there may still be some applications that just simply won't work well in Edge or maybe just need to run in some other browser. What does Microsoft recommend if I hit a web application that was built for an older version of IE and it just won't work properly with Edge?
Yeah, well, there's actually two sides of that. Right, compatibility with stuff that's designed for other browsers is awesome. You know, even down to the fact of what are we putting in as our user agent string. And, you know, okay. User agent strings at this point in the evolution of the web are just an ever-growing pool of lies. You know, if you look at any user agent string, it's going to claim to be Mozilla, right? Edge claims to be Edge and Chrome and Firefox. I mean, there's no end to what things are telling there, right? If you look at Chrome pretends to be Safari. I mean, everything is lying about being something else because there's so much code running on web servers going, what browser are you? Ooh, I don't know you, so I'm going to just give you nothing or a degraded experience or some code I had lying around from 1987, you know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, we actually do phenomenally well at working with applications designed for the modern web.
Right.
Now, what about applications that were designed, you know, when our last session we talked about IE dating all the way back to 1999? Well, there's still a lot of those out there that are still being run in production. How about those? And we don't have a compatibility story that goes backwards directly in Edge. It's designed to be a modern web browser, just like every other modern web browser. But that's exactly the reason why we have IE included as part of Windows 10, so that you can easily go back and use the enterprise mode site list that we talked about when we talked about IE. That exact same list can say, you know what, go back to Edge, from Edge to IE for this web application. And just have it pop up. The user doesn't have to get involved or decide. I can automatically redirect that.
So basically, Edge and other browsers, it sounds like, are lying to the web applications just to get past that compatibility. They're basically just telling those web applications, forget about it. You work fine. You're okay. We're good. That's about it, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because in essence, you're hiding from your enemies. And we actually hit that problem a lot in IE11 because IE11 also did not include that famous MSIE in the user agent string. And all of our enemies stopped discriminating against us. And all of our friends also stopped recognizing. So it's a double-edged sword. Right.
And then that's the issue too. And you mentioned that you know, developers build a web application, they test it with their favorite browser, and often won't address or even, like you said, even aggressively avoid other browsers they don't think are going to work. So you get past that because you basically say, yeah, we're okay. You can do this.
I want to comment on that though before we lose that, because a really good point off of that is that. When do I get browser-specific code, particularly if I'm writing a new application today? Like, what would I do? How would I guide folks? And no browser vendor wants you to lock them in. I mean, obviously, they would like to win, but they don't want to win by lock-in. They don't want to win because it doesn't flat-out work on anything else. And so there are some sites that are doing it. We host one at modern.ie, which now just redirects, and I'm going to actually read the URL. It's at dev.windows.com/Microsoft-Edge. Has resources. We can look at, you know, the status page and say, give me all the web standards. What browsers are they supported in? I can make sure I'm not building some brand new experimental thing that only exists in one browser and therefore won't work in other places, unless the audience for that I can guarantee will always have and be using that one particular browser to try and make it easier to develop just for the web, because users, in the end, they don't care. They just want the web to work.
So when if an application is built, though, for Internet Explorer that they have not yet updated to work in Edge, and somebody opens or attempts to open up that application in Edge, and it won't work, I guess I'm asking for you to explain how this process works, because I've actually seen this. I've seen times where I've gone to a page, and the page just basically tells me, best experience in Internet Explorer, click here, and it opens up IE instead. How do we do that? That's kind of magical to me.
So a couple of bits of magic. So we talked about one already, which is the IT administrator could always put in the configuration, hey, duck back here, I know it doesn't work in Edge. The other thing that we do is, since we don't have support for arbitrary ActiveX controls, if we see one sitting on the page, we can go, you know what? Yeah, you're probably not going to work, right? Because you're right here. You go to the class tag, and you're asking for Silverlight, and we don't have Silverlight in Edge. We've eliminated all of that surface area for all the positive benefits of that, and there are many, but also for the negative of it, it actually now doesn't work anymore until we transition to HTML instead of, you know, that plug-in technology. So we have that part. I think the more interesting question is for updating my content itself. That's something that we've been trying to provide a lot of tools for. Again, at dev.windows.com/Microsoft-Edge, we bring in a lot of tools to help people. Site scanners detects a lot of stuff. The biggest problem I see with enterprise applications are things like, I downloaded jQuery.js in 2011, stuck it on my site, and never maintained it. Well, jQuery's middleware, and jQuery revs and adds browser support, and over time, right, that may be a problem on any browser by having the old one that can spot, hey, you're using an old library. It's not going to be supported by the vendor. It may give you problems, and oftentimes does, to spot that, to give you some scanning tools as well as some resources on how to go in and modify the code. It's usually not much of an IT pro task, but it's good for folks who are running IT to be aware of the tool sets that are out there, the virtual machines that we have available for download, that really help to kind of give people the tools they need to make this transition forward.
Excellent, excellent. Now, is there any urgency to move people off of apps that are only able to run IE or other browsers that support those sorts of older plugins and older capabilities? Or are we just going to be stuck with IE forever? I guess that's my question.
Urgency, I think everyone should have it on their roadmap. Okay. So a lot of people are starting off today with, hey, I'd like to just get rid of Edge and keep IE. I know it. I'm familiar with it. And the challenge with that, there's a couple of them, right? One of them is, as soon as you say IE is a requirement and I'm only going to work there, you're tying yourself. You're saying, I'm only willing to work on Windows, desktop, or tablet devices. I'm not even willing to work on Windows Phone, which just has Edge, right? I only want to work in this scenario, which is very constraining today. It means if someone shows up and they come up with, you know, EGAT, you know, it turns out they actually sell some of these things called iPads or Android tablets. It happens. I know you. We're actually not in any way shocked, but right. But it means you're blocked for that scenario, the phone scenarios, which is occupying more and more computing time, right? So that's a problem. And the other one is long term in terms of the content that you're developing. Is that even if you retire all of the legacy document modes and get everything to IE11 document mode, that IE11 is kind of locked in at where it is right now. It's not evolving anymore. It's a dead end. So that, you know, while today it's fine, it's still a relatively modern browser, in 5 years, 10 years, it's not going to be. And staying on that train and holding on means you're going to keep moving back in terms of the content and potentially making the next jump harder. Versus saying, you know what, most things actually work in Edge today. Just leave them there. Let it run, right? Don't try to disable it. If you can, if it's not a negative user experience, making it the default we think is great. We do that at Microsoft. We still have to go to IE for all kinds of stuff. But we make Edge the default and only go there when we need to, so that we can start gradually whittling down that list of stuff that has the IE dependency and eventually work it to zero. So I'm on now a modern, evergreen, evolving web platform that allows me to really take advantage of all the innovations that we don't even know about yet.
Right, right. And well, I think in a nutshell, too, you mentioned that you know, if an application is going to work on Edge, we know it's going to work better on Apple products, on Google products, you know, on other browsers, on the places where people are at. But depending on the device and their device choice, you know, they're less likely to have issues rather than, you know, applications that are kind of stuck in working with IE. So love that. Okay. Now, before we wrap it up, You mentioned this great resource, and we're going to say that URL one more time. I'll just go ahead and say it. It's dev.windows.com/Microsoft-Edge. So that's a great resource to find out more information about how to work with Edge and how to work with some of the tools to make the transition easier. You have a blog.
Yep, appcompatguy.com.
AppCompatGuy.com. Okay, really easy to remember. So we definitely want people to go there, find resources on compatibility, and view sessions 1 and 2 of our 3-part series. This is wrapping up part 3 here. Chris, this has been a delight. I've really enjoyed myself. I hope you have too.
It is always a pleasure, sir.
All right, and I know everybody who's viewed this also has enjoyed it and hopefully found something useful. I know you have. Thank you all for watching TechNet Radio. Have a great day.